Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of High Strangeness, just outside of Area 51. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hello, everybody. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting from the 840 WHES studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky. That's home of the Colonel's 11 Herbs and Spices, Kalen's Restaurant. That's the creator of the cheeseburger. That's right. And bourbon. Lots of bourbon. We like our food and drink here. I'm Connie Willis again here on Coast to Coast AM. And tonight, a man that talks to the other side, paranormal investigator and professional photographer Steve Huff is with us. We'll get started right after this on Coast to Coast AM. Time now to turn off the lights and join me for another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and you're listening to Coast AM. Tonight, Bishop James Long was going to join us, and he has these migraines, and he got a really bad one today, and he just can't think. And when that happens, if you're one of those unlucky people that get those, you understand what I'm talking about. And poor James, he gets them worse than most people. I think he's in the high percentage of the people that get them the worst. So James, if you're out there listening to us, hopefully you're resting and you're not listening to us. But if you are, get well. We're sending our prayers and our wishes to you. I know that a lot of people are going to miss you tonight. So that's why Bishop James Long is not on. However, he will be on again. He's a buddy of mine. He's a friend. He's absolutely the most professional guy out there. He really knows his trade, and we will definitely have him back on again. So tonight, before I mention tonight's guest, so he's got to hang on just a little bit longer there, Steve. I want to say hi to all the Bigfooters out there at Beachfront. They're up in the Pacific Northwest all camping out, and it's a special invite only. Everybody's got their tents pitched, and anyway, I saw the pictures on Facebook. It looks like everybody's having a good time, but all the best of the best Bigfooters are out there having a good time, and they're probably not listening at all. They're probably just sitting around the fire and talking about stories of Bigfoot, the hairy man. Okay, tonight's guest, we've had him on here before, Steve Huff of Huff Paranormal. He's a professional photographer, actually. That's his main thing. And then, of course, he's had some things happen in his life along the way that has got him to being a paranormal investigator. And he does it in a very, very unique way. He uses machines and technology to talk to something on the other side, and we'll ask him what that is that he talks to and what these machines are, the technology that he's into. And great guy, very nice. I call him a friend as well. We work together with a Paranormal Shock TV with Anthony Sanchez and a lot of other folks too. So anyway, welcome, if you can, Steve Huff of Huff Paranormal. How are you, Steve?
Hey, Connie. I am good, and it's really good to be back on and talk to you again. It's always good to chat with you, and it's even better that we're chatting in this way. So I'm really good.
Well, last time you were on, we had a great time. We had a great response as well. Yeah. So I know you've done a whole lot more since then. I think that was about a year ago. So we're looking forward to what you have new for us to listen to, because we're going to have a lot. You've offered to play a lot of sound clips for us, and looking forward to that all night long. We got you for the night. We got you for 4 hours. You're trapped. Awesome. You can't get out of it. You've signed blood on a piece of paper somewhere.
I did. I really did. People don't realize they make you do that. It's true.
We do. We do. We want the DNA. It's all about the DNA. I don't know what it is, but so tell everybody else in your words who you are and what is special about you, besides just how special you are, but you know, your special talents with the paranormal and that field.
Well, I don't consider myself anything special. What Aww. I consider myself is a guy who, you know, all my life I've had experiences, ghostly experiences that I would call them now, but back then I didn't really know what they were, even from when I was 9 years old into my teen years. And then, you know, you kind of explain things away. But then as I got older, and I've always had an interest in spirituality, spirits, ghosts, Life After Death. I remember watching a movie. Some of the listeners might remember it. I think it came out in the 70s, and I believe it was called Beyond and Back, and I think it's on YouTube. And it was all about, I had my mom take me to the theater to see it. I was so fascinated to see what happens that I said, you know, I'm getting out, I'm quitting. It's just too, it takes up a lot of my time. You know,
that's true. I've heard you say that more than once or twice, yeah, or four times or five
and
times. But you know what? It's so exciting, though. You know,
it's very exciting. I think that's what draws me back in. And, you know, and I always get this feeling like there's something I need to do. I need to progress further with it. So that's basically what I've been doing, trying to go further and further with the research by using these devices that, you know, not only from myself, but there's other people who have made some great devices as well. Like,
well,
you remember when we worked together, I had the GeoBox.
Yeah, yeah.
I still own that as well. So, so I'm using the devices I have called, you know, the Portal, WonderBox, and I use those with hack radios. Now, people who do spirit communication, they know about hack radios and how they work. And basically, back a couple of years ago, you could go to Radio Shack and buy a little handheld AM/FM radio, open up the back, snip a wire in there, and all that did was allow you to scan the frequencies without it muting. And it would scan really fast on some models. So somebody noticed, you know, you can scan these and you hear people talking to you when it shouldn't be possible. And, you know, it was controversial, but there's so much evidence out there from so many, myself included, that prove that there's something talking back to us. Because I'm at the point now where it's sometimes conversational, where it goes on a back and forth dialogue. And, you know, I say, well, I'm talking to the dead, I'm talking to spirits. And I say that not because I'm confident I'm talking to ghosts and spirits, but because that's what they are telling me they are when I ask. So if they're telling me they're ghosts, if they're spirits, some say angels, some say demons, some say devil, some talk about meeting God or that. So there's something going on with this. And I discovered when I plugged one of those radios into like a reverb effect, noise reduction effect, it would take out the static of the radio, and somehow the reverb would help the replies come through longer, clearer, the voices would get more distinct. And that's where I'm at today. I have a couple of devices that run a radio or the countless apps that are out there. It's crazy today because just 4 or 5 years ago, there was maybe a few people that made these spirit box devices. Now there's many more, and there's tons of apps and software programs out there designed just with the sole purpose of trying to talk to the dead. And to many that I come across who are new to this, they think it's a joke or a game, and it's far from a joke or a game. So I believe, my belief is, as of today, we can truly talk to spirits. And I'm just going by what they tell me they are and my experience with them, because I've had more experiences than just talking to them. So when you add it all up, that's basically what's going on. And it's pretty incredible. And I think that there needs to be more research done on this. I think there needs to be more attention put on it. But at the same time, I see a lot of people getting into it, thinking it's like a game or a toy. And then if you're afraid of it, it can really do some damage mentally to you. So I don't recommend people go out and try to do this if they have any fear of spirits or demons or anything like that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, that's true to say that. You know, people have been wanting to talk to the other side for, you know, centuries. I mean, you know, the Ouija mm-hmm. board and whatever before all that, you know, everybody's always wanted to talk to the other side. So here's new ways to do it, up-to-date ways to talk to the other side. Now, it's funny that you had mentioned that, you know, everything has fallen into place with you. And you said that you were interested at 9, but I think you had a couple, I think you died a couple times. Was that before 9 or after 9? Or you almost came close to death?
It was, one of them was around when I was 9. Two near-death experiences. One, I was probably around 9, and I was just playing baseball, you know, in the neighborhood with the kids, and I was always awful at baseball. I'm not... I'm more of an artist kind of guy. But anyway, I was like, oh, I'll be the catcher, you know, and silly me, I stood way too close to the batter. And he had an aluminum bat, and he missed the ball, but he made full-on contact with my forehead.
Oh, my gosh, you were too close to the batter. Yes. You were
close. I was the ball. My head was the ball.
Oh, my gosh.
My head splits open. My skull's exposed. Blood's everywhere. Oh. I fall to the ground. Okay, back in those days, I remember my friend's mom is like, oh, go call his mom. You know, instead of calling, like, emergency services, they call my parents to come get me, which is so bizarre to think of how things are so different today. But
amazing how you lived.
I'm going to the hospital, you know, and my dad's driving. My mom's holding me in the car crying. And I remember looking up at her, and I felt no pain. I was as calm and content as I could be. I wasn't afraid, and I was trying to calm my mother down. And I remember saying, don't cry, Mom, because it was hurting my feelings that she was crying.
Aww.
Now, of course, I was probably in shock or something, but I remember seeing this, like, glowing light. And I, at the time, I had, you know, I didn't put two and two together because I didn't know of such things. But next thing, and she's, like, slapping me so I don't pass out and because I was losing so much blood. But luckily, you know, they made it to the hospital just in time, and they fixed me up. And that was that. And then it was maybe 2 years later, I woke up at 3 a.m, and my whole face was swollen on one side. You know, I wake up my parents, and I said, my face hurts, you know. And they're like, oh, my God, what do you look like, a basketballer or something? I don't remember what they said. But so they rushed me to the doctor, and it turns out I had an abscessed tooth that was really infected. So they had an emergency dentist come and pull it, except this dentist didn't realize you're not supposed to pull an abscessed tooth just right out of the socket, right when he comes in the room. So the infection spread to my brain, and I was in Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago for 10 days. And I guess on like day 4 or 5, they told my parents that I probably wasn't going to make it. And then somehow I sprung out of it, but I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. I didn't know who my parents were. It was really scary and bizarre, more so to my parents, I think. But I came through that as well. And it was shortly after the abscess tooth experience that I was in a hotel room with my parents. And I remember we had two beds, and I somehow was sleeping in the bed with my dad, and my sister was sleeping with my mom. And it was one of those rooms where you had the two doors connected so you can go into the other room. And I was laying there, and I couldn't fall asleep. And I heard the door knob trying to jingle around or something like that. And next thing you know, the door opens. And I see this man look at me, and he's just staring at me. And I look back, and I was scared to death, and I had that where you freeze scared, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulls up his fist and he's like, you want this? And then I look over at my dad. I'm hitting my dad, jumping on my dad. I see the guy close the door. By the time my dad wakes up, I was trying to tell him somebody was trying to rob us. The door was locked on our side, so it couldn't have been opened. It's
Ooh.
Like there was no way for anyone to get in. So you know, back then I passed it off. I remember his face so vividly to this day. And my mom, you know, my mom even, she knows. I've told this story so many times. She knows that there was something going on because I'm so stuck on it.
So you saw a face, though. You saw a face. Yeah. Most people just see like a shadow man or, you know, something else. You saw a face. What did it look like?
It looked physical to me. It looked like he was a man, maybe 50. Dark hair, you know, now maybe he had some way of sneaking in the door and he was going to rob us. That's a possibility, but we couldn't explain it. My parents or my father called down to the desk, and asked who was in that room. I'll have to ask my mom. You know, I don't know what happened, if there was somebody in there or not, but that was one experience. But I've had many throughout life that just couldn't be explained. And then once I started getting into this and receiving these messages, and I'm like, well, maybe there's something there that made sense back then, but I didn't recognize it for what it was. Because I've had experiences in the last few years where I saw visuals, though it wasn't a physical form like that.
Ooh, I want to hear some of these mm-hmm. things. You know, though, when people have these near-death experiences, apparently when they come back, they have more abilities or abilities that they've never had, or they're stronger abilities. And so that could definitely be a part of what's going on. And then when you get with these machines and these boxes that you work with, and you're out there talking to something on the other side, of course they're going to hang on to you and be there with you. Before we take our break,
exactly.
Right? And I saw them in your eyes the first time I saw you. Let's go ahead and listen to one of the sounds before we take a break and explain that, because we have a lot of them to play tonight. So I want everybody to hear at least one of them before we take a break. So let's go ahead and do the first one, and then you can explain it quickly after hearing the first one. Now, what are we hearing there?
That was hard to hear through the phone. But anyway, it's a that was me using one of my boxes with a app called Divination Box. It's a free app on Android. And the idea behind Divination Box, it's made by a guy named Matt Payne in the UK. Great guy. But it's all reverse human speech. So when you press play on the app, all you really hear coming out is gibberish. It's reversed human speech. Now, of course, there are some human words you can say normally that will also say something in reverse. But what I look for are things like them saying my name or answering a specific question. And in that clip, which might be hard to hear on the radio, but you can watch the video on my YouTube channel, what I hear is Huff's been chosen. And when I heard that, it actually scared me, because later when I asked what I've been chosen for, they said to be with them and to help them. Basically, they were insinuating to help them from where they are, not from where I am.
Oh, well, can we hear it one more time and listen for Huff's been chosen? Yeah, let's hear for Huff's been chosen. I heard it right at the beginning, Huff's, and it was like a whistle.
Yeah,
Huff's been chosen.
Some of the other clips in here are crazy, but yeah, so the fact that you even hear been chosen or Huff's been chosen, that shouldn't be possible coming from an app that only plays reversed human speech. And the reason Matt made it with reversed human speech is to try to get around, you know, because normal apps will use normal human speech, and people will say, well, that's just a word or a phrase in the app. But today people are Florida, and we originally, it came to be because Josh, after 2 or 3 years of me doing videos, he became inspired by watching them, and he was fascinated with what he was seeing me do. And actually him and his partner, Nikki, who make up Hope Paranormal, they were fascinated by the video, so they bought a little spirit box and they started using it. And they were getting replies, and, you know, he would email me, oh man, thanks for your videos, you know, we picked up the SB7, blah, blah, blah. And he would ask me several times, or three times he asked me if I would do a documentary or a movie with them. And I didn't know him, I didn't know if I could trust him, I didn't know who he was. But we kind of built up a relationship over email over time, and he seemed like a really, really genuine guy. And I sold him some paranormal gear that I wasn't using, and I saw videos he was using using the gear in, and he was getting great results. And he was all about helping spirits cross over. That's what HOPE stands for. I think it's Helpers of Paranormal Entities. And I was experimenting with a lot of that, and I still do today. But he was really going at it and getting some validations of crossing over. So I said, okay, let's do this documentary. We put it on Kickstarter, and we had a lofty goal of $40,000, because we had big plans with these big locations that we'd have to pay a lot of money to travel to, a whole film crew, an editing crew, you know, the whole nine yards. But the Kickstarter, I think it got up to around 7,000. So when that happens, you don't get funded by Kickstarter. Nobody pays the money. So we were kind of out of luck. But Josh whipped up a thing where he came up with some products, and he makes a couple products, or he did for this special movie. One's called a life piece. And he said, anybody who donates such and such amount will get a life piece, a post, you know, all that. He had this package. So people were buying it to fund the movie, but they got something back out of their donation or whatever. You know, they were buying a package. So we were able to come up with, I think it was $6,800 at the end of the day. And we had a really, really great group of people who helped out. So we had $6,800. We had four people to get to Key West. We had hotels, a film crew, and, you know, $6,800 isn't going to go too far. But we managed. We put a little bit of money out of pocket. And
that sounds like every independent film I've ever worked on.
Exactly.
Same setup.
We had a great time. It was awesome. We became like family. And so he, since we couldn't afford the editing team, he has been editing it for a year. And he finally finished it, and it was released today on YouTube. It's called Finding the Light. And I want to talk a little bit about this, if we can, about, you know, the theory of possibly helping spirits cross over. Because in the years that I've been doing this, and so many other people online, I'm watching their videos, we're getting these messages of help me, help us. They always want help. And I would always ask, what do you need help with? And after a few months of asking, they finally started saying the light, or the white light, or, you know, find the light. So it sounded to us like they're looking to cross over. And, you know, I would talk about Archangel Michael, and then they would start asking for Michael. And this is all very clear audio. It's not like the old staticky, you know, whispers. It's really clear audio. So that's what the documentary is about. And we did get a validation, we feel, near the end of a spirit crossing over, which is really cool to see. So that's on YouTube for free. But also I want to touch on what I have been finding has been happening to me when I continue to try to offer this help. Because, you know, I'm just a living man. I'm not anything special. I don't have any powers. I don't call myself a medium or a psychic. But since these years, I've been saying, you know, I've been trying to envision the white light for them, because I've read in books on these techniques to try to do this. So I started doing it, and then I would get validations. We see the light, we're in the light, and then now they talk about my light all the time. But I feel what has happened now is I'm not so sure that I can give them the light, and I don't want to be like, you know, trying to say I'm doing something that I really can't. And
you don't want to be a gateway or something like that either. I mean, if you are the
light. But I think I am a gateway. That's my point.
Yeah.
Because they always tell me now that they're in me or attached to me. I get pretty bad chest pains quite often these days. I had a minor mini heart attack a couple years ago while using a spirit box in the desert. So I do think there are dangers when mm-hmm. you're trying to to do things like that. You know, I can't say for sure. And the part of me inside, I do consider myself an empath. I have feelings for every living thing on this planet. And I always feel emotion of other people. And these spirits who sound so desperate coming through, part of me just wishes I could help them. And part of me is saying, well, maybe I shouldn't meddle with this because it could be causing me problems. And there's actually one clip you have of mine where they talk about possession. I have many clips where they say they're possessing me or in me and out of me. But it's you know, it gets a little creepy, and you start to think, well, do these chest pains have anything to do with, you know, trying to help them cross? And I had a major, major attack just a few months ago that when it was done, I said, I'm out, I quit, I'm giving everything away to other researchers I know, because it was the most horrific, scary experience of my life. And the takeaway message that I got from it was to stop trying to help them cross over. And, you know, a lot of people might say, well, this guy sounds insane. What is he talking about? This is otherworldly. But it was very, very real, and it was very horrific. And I basically was sitting on the couch with my fiance Debbie, and we were watching TV. We were watching some funny sitcom or something. And we were laughing and talking, and next thing you know, things go black. Like, the room started going black. Like, I visually saw a line making the room go black. And I see this blackness, like imagine you're looking up at a sky, but there's no stars, right? But you know it's the sky. That's what it looked like space or something. And there was this big circle of things flying with wings, and they looked really not nice. They looked kind of scary. But out of this circle in the middle came three horrific looking things. I don't even know how to describe them. I could say demon. I can say some sort of evil god. I don't know. But I physically felt this pain they were inflicting on me, ripping open my chest, choking me. And I guess while this was happening, Debbie was freaking out because what she saw was me fall down, like having these, I was just like in the fetal position with my eyes open, but I couldn't see the room. And so they were attacking me. And I remember thinking, this is it. This has caused the death of me at this point. What have I done? What have I done? You know? So when I was in that desperation mode, I was convinced that was the end, and that they were pulling me into wherever they were going to take me. And so I'm not a religious guy. I don't go to church. While I believe in God and I believe in a higher power and I'm very spiritual, I don't really go to church or read the Bible, so I don't consider myself a very religious person. But at that moment, I took a cue from Josh, from Hope, who told me, you know, try it. Try asking for Jesus or for that help if anything like that happens. So I said, Jesus, please, my higher power, somebody needs to help me. Please, please, please. And as I was doing that, now I hear a voice in my head saying, stop, or something like, you must stop. And I just knew it in my body what they were telling me to stop doing, and it was to help, stop helping spirits cross over. So at that moment when I asked for Jesus, I see the blackness, almost like you're pulling a curtain over, just leave the room. And I sit up, and Debbie's like, what is going on? And I look at her, and I just said, they left, they're gone. And she's like, what are you talking about? Who left? Who is gone? And I guess I was like choking. There was all this stuff going on that she saw. My head was back, my neck was pushed out. It's just, it was really, really scary. So I got out of that, and I said, I'm done. So I spent 2 weeks not even thinking about the paranormal. 2 weeks go by, and it starts drawing me back in. Like, that's
no,
what I was talking about earlier.
Only two like, weeks? Man, that was it?
Only 2 weeks. That's,
oh, my
that's
gosh.
That's the crazy part. And I see other people get really heavily involved in this, and then they're like, well, I'm going to quit, and they come back a week or two later. There's something about it that when you get this involved in it, it pulls you back in, and it's very hard to get out. And the proof of that is I make no money doing this. I think my YouTube channel makes like $400 a month, but I have spent double or even triple that on building these items. So I don't do this for money. Do it because I'm fascinated by it, because it's something that we always thought is impossible, you know, talk to the dead or try to find out what happens. And here we are, a bunch of us in this field, actually accomplishing it in some form. And, you know, so that's, I think it keeps pulling me back in, but I also think there's something else pulling me back in.
Yeah, it might be one of those entities pulling you back in, something like that. Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
you don't know, you know, but you're right. Everybody else says this.
Say you're chosen. Am I chosen for something good or am I chosen for something bad? You know, you never know.
Or are you chosen at all? Who even knows that for sure?
Exactly. It's crazy to think about, but it leaves you doing this work at the level I am. It usually raises more questions and gives you
yes.
answers.
Yeah, and it gets you in deep into some negative things as well, too. I mean,
it can very much so.
Without a doubt, you've been in that, and there is no money. I know you mentioned money here a second ago. Mm-hmm. There is no money in paranormal. There's none.
Exactly.
People do it for a
Everybody
passion.
Knows this. I mean,
there's none.
If you have a TV show, it takes 2 or 3 seasons to make money. I mean,
it's
so
crazy.
It's a passion. I always say it's a passion in me, but maybe there's something else. I don't know. But
well, it's like the haunted houses. People get pulled back into those,
exactly.
and they can't leave that house, you know.
Exactly. So it's really strange. It's a strange phenomenon, but I'm deep in it, so I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there's times I'll say, oh, I'm quitting, and then I just know that I'm not going to quit. So I'm like, I stop saying it because I always come back.
Yeah, but next time you tell me that, I'm going to roll my eyes and go, okay, yes, Steve, okay, right.
Well, with that said, I do love this work. I find it to be very important, very interesting. Again, I don't recommend everybody go out and just start digging into this. And if you do want to get into it, you have to have no fear at all of it, because early on I was afraid of it when I started getting these messages, because who wouldn't be when you're like, you ask a question, they answer you with your name and weird answers that are specific to your question. So then you lay in bed when you first start doing it, and you're like, are they watching me? Are they watching me in the bathroom? You know, are they all around? Are they going to possess me? So it can freak you out if you have a fear of it. Today, I don't.
You don't know what gets into you. Yeah. Well, it was a neat documentary. I looked at it myself today, and that Josh Lewis guy, wow, he's incredible, intense, very, very cool.
He is.
Enjoyed watching him.
Yeah, I remember when I watched it for the first time, I was like, oh, wow, I'm so lackluster, because I'm always so chill. That's my personality. And he's more like, you know, go for it, but he's awesome. We kind of make a good little combo there, you know. But I can tell you, when we get together, the sessions are incredible when we work together. So we're already talking about doing a second one, not anytime really soon, but who knows? You know, it's just it's good fun, and it helps show people what's happening and that this stuff is possible. And in my opinion, I think it's just going to get better and better and better, to where 10, 15 years from now, it's going to be an accepted thing, in my opinion. People are going to accept it as reality.
With Steve Huff right now of Huff Paranormal, and what he does is he's got this technology from apps and boxes that he's made or other people have made, and what he takes them out to buildings or places, inside, outside, all over the place, and he talks to spirits or something on the other side, where they talk back to him. So that's what you're listening to here on Coast to Coast. We've only got a couple minutes, so let's play this next clip real fast and tell us what we're hearing after we hear it.
Can you tell me the name of who's here?
Okay, tell me what that is and we'll listen back again.
I think I was asking, that's a video I just did from, I was sitting outside and I had my box by the pool and I said, who's here? And I heard Bob, and then I heard Eric is what I heard in real time. And it's just, you hear names, you hear, you know, whatever. It's just a crazy, fascinating thing when you can sit there and turn on a box say, what's your name or who's here?
Yeah, this one was God, they're immortal. God, they're immortal. So.
Oh, was that the one you just played?
Yeah, that's one we just played. I know it's hard for you to hear.
I have a really hard time hearing it over
the phone. I know, I'm
really
sure. Well, listen, let's hear it again. It's the name of who's here. You're going to hear God, they're immortal.
Can you tell me the name of who's here?
They're immortal. And I can definitely hear it. It's funny how because you do this all the time, you hear those little bitty syllables that come out.
Yeah.
And once you point them out, so can we. So stick around, everybody. We've got a lot more of these, and we'll play a whole lot more, a lot quicker, and we'll let Steve explain these along the way. You are listening to the Spirit Talker, Steve Huff, and Connie Willis here on Coast to Coast AM.